Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On third down and four, Brady gets the snap. He throws back to the left. It's picked off. Roby across the 20, 15, cuts inside 10, and he's down inside the six-yard line. Bradley Roby, welcome back to the lineup in a big, big way.
That's something I like to take pride in, you know, being a game changer and making plays. You know, I was telling the guys earlier in the week that I was going to make a play. I don't know what it was, but I was going to make a play. So I'm happy that I was able to.
Good having Bradley Roby back on the field last night.
Couple plays.
Roby had an interesting, he had a really interesting game, Seth, from the standpoint of he had the pick,
yep.
Which to me was the biggest play, certainly the biggest play early in the game. That was the play that sort of turned the tide because it was, even though it was only 3-0, it was starting to feel a little bit early in the game like, here we go.
Well, they marched right down. The Patriots marched right down the field.
And the Texans went 3-and-out on their first drive. I mean, the first drive blues still persist. We're not going to harp on that today because they beat the damn Patriots. But yes, the Patriots marched down the field. The Texans, to their credit, buckled down, and they only give up the field goal. But then the offense goes back out, and they punt it right back to the Patriots. So the first two possessions, the Texans do nothing offensively. The Patriots defense looks every bit of what they've been looking like statistically this year. And the Patriots had moved the football on that first drive. That play by Roby was so big on so many levels, not the least of which was just him quickly getting his legs back under him again. And he had that pick, but then he had the 15-yard penalty on that play for celebrating, I guess maybe taking his helmet off. Then he had the pick later on in the game, but he got called for a hold on that play. He had a sack. You know, like, he had a very strange game.
What did you think about that hold? I thought it was ticky-tack, but... justifiable.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't
a bad call.
Yeah, it wasn't a horrible call. Yeah. I think they would have let it go more times than not, but I wasn't going to get overly up in arms about that.
Yeah.
The other play, the ticky-tack play, was when they called the unsportsmanlike conduct on Barkevious Mingo for the late hit.
Yeah.
Look, that's one of those classic plays where I'd say I don't think they should have called that, but Barkevious Mingo has to know better. You know better in that situation. There's a way in that situation where you don't throw the people's elbow and then they wouldn't make that call. If you just kind of try to fat whale it on top of the guy and put your arms up, show that you're not trying to hit
him. That's how you would do it.
That's how I would. Well, no.
You wouldn't do it at all.
No, I would have done like a Tony Siragusa fat well, where you try to passive aggressively land on the guy,
right,
and try to make it look like, hey, I'm not trying to hit him, but I'm landing with all my body weight on top.
No, you're right. Mingo was looking like he was trying to hit him.
He looked like he was trying to inflict harm.
Yeah.
It was when the quarterback's already down. So simultaneously, I'd say I don't think I should have called that, but Barkevious Mingo has to know better.
Yeah.
That was the scary thing in the first quarter was. It wasn't just that first drive by the Patriots, and it wasn't just the bad couple of drives by the Texans. It was the bad penalties.
Yeah.
They weren't just penalties. There were some really, really injurious penalties. You had unsportsmanlike conducts. You had an illegal celebration, all that. No, I will say this.
52 yards of penalties in the first quarter.
In the first quarter. That's pretty damn impressive. Yeah. On pace for
200 yards.
208 yards.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And they were winning. 52 yards of penalties, and they were winning.
So now, one thing I've said about these first drive woes where the Texans are, they're still sitting on about, 170 total yards?
150.
150 total yards.
68 plays, 150. I'm tracking this like the debt ticker in Times Square.
In the first drive of all these games combined, that's how many yards they have.
68 plays, 150 yards.
I'm watching on that very first drive, and the Texans are lined up with three wide receivers to the right, a tight end and a running back on the left, and Clint noticed it right off the bat. He said, wow, they got a, Deshaun was looking to the wide receiver side there, and Clint noticed that they were, the Patriots completely neglecting any kind of safety help over the tight end in the running back side to the other side. So they came back after that Roby interception, and that's what they did. They came back, they threw the ball to Duke Johnson. There's nobody helping over the top. Really, really easy touchdown because Duke Johnson was isolated on a linebacker. That was nice to see. So at least if you're going to fail on the first drive, learn from it, and build on it in subsequent drives. And I think the Texans have done a pretty good job of that all season.
I think that's something you brought up last week when we talked about first drives was, okay, these first drives are poor. They need to score more points on opening drives. They need to put more pressure on the opposition right out of the chute in these games. But I think you even raised that point last week, and I'm bringing that up because now this is a tangible example of it, that, okay, they're having these bad first drives, but the fact of the matter is, for the balance of the game across the season, in most games, they've been, with a few exceptions, they've been really good for the pretty much the drives after that, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, they have the lowest percentage of three and outs in the league, the Texans do, and they've scored plenty of points this year. They're an 8-4 football team with not a great, but a pretty good offense. They move the football pretty well. You hope at least that maybe they're learning some things. You made that point last week, and what you're saying here, what I'm hearing you say, is that there was tangible evidence of that last
week. Of adjustments.
And drives that looked like failures on paper had a ripple effect on ultimately scoring 28 points against the best defense in football.
And you want to find a better balance. You know, obviously, sure. The best of both worlds, you'd be having success on that opening drive and also learning and diagnosing what's going on. I've grown fascinated by watching Bill Belichick in the first quarter, just because I first noticed it in the Ravens game, and then it occurred to me, okay, yeah, this is what he does. Those first few drives, have you ever noticed him furiously taking his notes?
Oh, of course.
That's when he's most active taking his notes. I want to get a hold. You know what I want to do? I want to go down and sit behind his bench with a really good camera and see exactly what he's writing down. I'm guessing it's mostly personnel and formation based.
Yeah.
But he's furiously taking note of everything in those first series. And O'Brien, look, the Texans had certain personnel advantages last night. Mm-hmm. The biggest takeaway I have from last night is even with that really, really scary prevent mode the Texans went into, I think Bill O'Brien took the fight to the Patriots. I don't think there was any timidity or meekness to Bill O'Brien's actions last night, which was nice to see. I've always previously felt like there was a little bit of dad strength that Bill Belichick had over Bill O'Brien. I feel like that's been expunged. I feel like Bill O'Brien was his own man last night.
So you feel like the demons have been exercised now with the Patriots and the Texans.
Yes, and they'll never lose to the Patriots again.
Well, for all of the duration of history
and mankind.
And obviously, I know you're joking about that. But if they lose to the Patriots again down the road, it's not going to be because of the things that I think we feel like over the last few games that there is a pucker factor that goes on with the Patriots. I think we saw it in the game in Deshaun's rookie year, where I think the Bill O'Brien of 2019, I think he goes for it on fourth down in that game late in the game, and the Texans hang on to the football, and Tom Brady never gets the football back.
Yeah.
That Bill O'Brien's probably not walking through the door again.
The really cool thing about last night, and that trick play too, I love that the trick play was brought to the coaches by Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. That Deshaun saw the Bears running a similar play, and they go to it and they work on it. And again, that's kind of that side of Bill O'Brien that I think you just assume that it doesn't exist. I think there's a playful side to Bill O'Brien and you would never guess it, but his relationship with his players is a lot different than, and I think his relationship with his players now is different than how it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
he's probably evolved.
I think he's kind of grown and also relaxed. The same way Coughlin did as a head coach in the NFL, he relaxed a little bit as he went along and realized that you had to find that balance.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of that probably comes with the security of knowing you're the guy running the show now. You know, it's your deal. There's pressure that comes with that, but there's also probably a ripple effect on your personality. Do you want to relive the trick play from last night?
I do.
Okay, let's relive the magic of the trick play that put the Texans up 28-9.
First and goal from the 6, Deshaun. Hands off to Johnson, now to Hop right side, who flips the ball to Watson, diving for the pylon, and he's got it! Razzle dazzle! Touchdown, Houston!
Here's O'Brien on the trick play last night.
I think they drew that one up in the dirt over the bye week, and they brought it in, and they had it on a piece of notebook paper, and they handed it to me. You know, we've been working on that for a while, and, you know, it was all about the timing, you know, where we could get the ball so we could run a play like that, and you know, the timing was right. We got the ball down there in the 6-yard line, and that was where we wanted to do it, and we did it, and they executed pretty well. It wasn't the exact look we thought we were going to get, and they made it work.
The guy I felt for in that whole sequence, Mark Vandermeer, he did a great job of describing it. That's got to be a really hard play to describe. It's like no play. don't want to say it's like no play I've ever seen before. We've seen plays that are just all about going left, going right, you know, the Philly special, things like that. But that one was a strange one because a lot of the exchange took place really kind of tucked in a confined space right behind the center, and then ultimately it wound up with Hopkins. And boy, the one thing I didn't like about that play, you are putting DeAndre Hopkins in a position where there are big, heavy, fat dudes that are going to be able to take shots at his legs, which they did.
Right.
He's bionic, so he gets up.
And instead of throwing downfield, though, at least, it's just a simple pitch. Well, forward pass. Pitch. It's a pitch of a forward pass.
He's got a touchdown pass and an interception this year, DeAndre Hopkins.
I was glad that Al brought it up during the replay process, because this was, they hadn't focused on it initially, but I couldn't remember, I didn't notice at first whether that first handoff was a handoff or a little shovel pass.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it had been a shovel pass. That's why when I saw that DeAndre had looked to be a forward pass, I immediately thought, oh no, was this a shovel pass? And it wasn't. It was a nice handoff. And I choose to believe that it was all by design.
Yeah.
That they could have withstood the forward pass or a pitch.
It leaves it open to the possibility of you're still behind the line of scrimmage. Deshaun Watson said after the game, the trick play almost didn't happen.
We wanted man coverage where the safety was tilted and it was just one backer here. And they went kind of like a too high look, and it was funky at first, and I wanted to check out of it, but I was like, nah, this is the perfect time. We got it here, so if we don't run it now, we probably will never run it. So I was like, forget it. Me and Hopper made something work, and, you know, he pulled up, and the safety in the corner was sitting out there. I think it was J.C. Jackson, and I'd seen Hop tuck it to one step, and I knew he was going to pitch it right after that. I just know Hop like the back of my hand, and he just threw it up in the air, and I got it and, you know, scored, so it was cool.
That was, you know, that philosophy right there, that's kind of like John Harbaugh's philosophy with his press conference lines.
What's that?
Just, I've got it, I'm going to use it no matter what. John Harbaugh has all Jim Harbaugh, not John.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, for those of you that heard it this weekend, he had a pretty crafty response to a reporter, but it didn't completely and totally make sense. You got the sense that he'd been waiting to use that line. So, in Jim Harbaugh's case, it kind of makes him look kind of weird. In Deshaun Watson's case, he had this play, he wanted to use it. It wasn't the perfect scenario, but you got to go ahead and shoot your shot.
Got to.
And it worked out.
Yeah, it was
so
fun.
Touchdown reception versus the Patriots. That's something I'm guessing he never... All these things that happen that you dream about as a young kid, I wonder how often Deshaun actually dreamt of catching a touchdown versus the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I would say, you know, look, I know he's from the South, but the Patriots have been the marquee team in the league throughout his entire childhood and adolescence.
But would he be envisioned catching a touchdown? He's been a quarterback.
Oh, catching a touchdown.
Catching a touchdown.
I was more fixated on the opposition as opposed to the actual verb that you were saying about. No, you're right. Catching a touchdown.
Because if I'm young Deshaun Watson, too, I'm never going to want to be pigeonholed into like, hey, you could be a slash type player. Hey, you could be like Lamar Jackson. If quarterback doesn't work out for you, just be
that.
A wide receiver. So Deshaun's probably like actively thinking like, no, I'm a
throwing.
Quarterback. Listen, old man, you're not going to make me a receiver. I'm a quarterback.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.